going to read another passage this time, Genesis chapter 19. So Genesis chapter 19, it is a lengthy reading, so let me begin just now. Genesis chapter 19, the verse number 1, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in to him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, of all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye unto them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And he said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. We will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand, on the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for that which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do the thing until I come hither. Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the plain, and beheld, and though the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. It came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abram and sent Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, and he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morning, on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and she perceived not when she lay down, and when, or he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Tragic. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, bless us as we meet around the open word. Minister to our hearts, challenge our lives. May we all be honest and frank before thee in this house this evening. Help the preacher. Lord, give, Lord, the infilling of thy spirit in order that the ministry that is needed for this hour be exercised in a proper way. We pray, Lord, that thy blessing will be upon now the preaching of the word, for we offer prayer in and through the Savior's holy name. Amen. It's hard to believe that one careless choice can have such devastating impacts upon a person's life, but that is the case. A careless choice can have a devastating impact upon a person's life. A young unmarried couple who succumb to their lust just once can find themselves dealing with an unwanted pregnancy. A young man who takes just one more drink with his friends at the bar, impairing his judgment, can result in death and carnage on the roads. A young woman who takes a tablet that contains drugs for the very first time can cause that girl to become a drug addict and sadly become another drug death statistic. Though our choices appear to be insignificant at times and non-consequential, the choices that we make can have life-changing and life-impacting implications in our lives. This was to be the case in the life of Abram's nephew, a man that we call Lot. The choice that he made in Genesis chapter 13, a choice that was simply about grazing pastures with regard to his own flocks and his own herds, was a choice that was going to have devastating consequences in his life. I want to speak about this man, Lot, this evening, and in particular the choices and the compromises that he made in his life, and consider whether those compromises and whether those choices were worth it in the long run. If you want a message title for tonight's message, I've entitled my message this evening, The Calamity of a Careless Christian. The Calamity of a Careless Christian. If Lot was anything, he was most certainly that. He was a careless Christian. The account of Lot's carelessness here in Scripture stands as a warning to all believers who would be tempted to believe that their carelessness in Christian living is not fraught with its dangers and devastating in its results. What I come to read in Scripture and what I have witnessed in the pastorate is that calamity will always follow, and calamity will always befall the Christian who becomes careless in their walk with God. May God save us from being careless in our Christian lives. And may we learn from Lot tonight in order that we would not make the same mistakes that he made in his life. I need to begin at the beginning and at the very start. And so I want you to consider in the first place Lot's privileged commencement to life. Lot's privileged commencement to life. Though born in a nation overrun by pagan idolatry, Lot would leave that land with his godly uncle and aunt, who turned from ascribing to polytheism to monotheism. That simply means that Abraham and Sarah, Lot's uncle and aunt, had come to the settled realization that there was only one God. All around them there were people who had believed in many gods. For the first 75 years of Abraham's life, Abraham believed that there was a God for almost everything. There was a God for harvest. There was a God for war. There was a God for healing. There was a God for childbirth. There was a God for journeys. There was gods for the sea and God for the sky. There was a God for the wind and God for the rain. There was a God for the flocks and a God for the herds, a God for the rivers and a God for the mountains. Polytheism. Everything was God. There was a God for everything. But now they had come to believe in the one true and living God. They have now come to trust in the God of the Bible. One day everything would change in the life of Lot's uncle Abram. God met with this man. God made himself known to Abram in order that he would leave his paganism and his idolatry behind and embrace the worship of the true and the living God. Abram did not enter such a state and such a belief by logical deduction or by philosophical reasoning, but rather the God of heaven, the everlasting God, the eternal God, dealt in a dealings with this man, Abram, Lot's uncle. It caused him to leave his paganism and embrace the worship of the true and living God. God stepped into Abram's life. And that's what always happens. God steps into the lives of men and women. This is how God works in salvation. God is always at the beginning of it all. It is God who commences that work. It's always God, and it always begins at God's end. The sinner will never seek after God. We're reminded of that in the book of Psalms, that the wicked will not seek after God. And certainly Abraham, I'm sure, or Abram had no thought of ever seeking the one true and living God. But something happened. God in grace began to work in this man's soul. And that's what happens in salvation. God in grace, he comes to speak to the sinner. It is he who initially begins to work in the heart of the ungodly person. It is he who implants that restlessness within the soul. It is he who comes to implant that emptiness within the heart and that longing to know God personally in the soul of the sinner. It is he who causes the awakened sinner to be brought into contact with the gospel, whether that's through the personal witness of a friend, whether the reading of Scripture, whether the listening to the preaching of the Word through the ministry of a Bible-believing church. It is he who begins to open the understanding. It is he who begins to enlighten the mind. It is he who brings to that sinner the gifts of faith and repentance in order that the sinner might be enabled to embrace Jesus Christ in the gospel, because salvation is all of God. He is the author and he is the finisher of faith. It is he who begins to move in the heart of the sinner well in advance before the sinner ever moves themselves ever towards God. And I pray that that is the case in your life. Maybe God has been dealing with you. Maybe God has been speaking to you. Maybe God has been convicting you and troubling you about your sin. I pray God that God tonight would step in and save your precious and never dying soul. The newfound faith of Abram undoubtedly impacted the entire family, and I believe impacted the life of his nephew Lot. Now, when in life Lot became a Christian, we're not told that in Scripture. In fact, if we hadn't the inspired record of 2 Peter chapter 2, the verse number 8, we would question whether or not Lot was actually a Christian at all. But Peter reminds us of a number of truths with regard to this man Lot. First of all, in verse 7, he describes Lot as being just Lot. Just Lot. Lot was a justified man. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Lot was a man who had been justified by faith. We're also told in verse number 8 that he was a man that was described as being righteous. He was declared righteous by God. Christ's righteousness had been given to him, imputed to him, bestowed to him in an act of faith, and thereby this man, Lot, was now righteous Lot. And we also go on to read that he vexed his righteous soul. So this wasn't just an outward righteousness, as it were, a good man, a good neighbor, a kind individual, a good husband, a good uncle. No, this man had a righteous soul. Righteousness had entered into the soul of this man. Now, if you hadn't of Peter's account, and if all you had was Genesis and those chapters that speak of Lot, you would never think that Lot was a saved man. But Lot was. Lot was a Christian. When did he come to faith in Jesus Christ? We don't know, but we do know, and we can pinpoint it and narrow it down a little. He must have been a saved man before he went to Sodom. Before he entered into the city of Sodom, he must have been a saved man. Why do I say that? Because I say that because he vexed his righteous soul when he was in Sodom. So he didn't get saved whenever he left Sodom. Whenever fire and brimstone was falling out of the sky and destroying that city. When judgment was there and the very smell of sulfur was in the air. And here's a man, maybe almost about to be overthrown in the city himself. This man, not at the 11th hour, not that he didn't seek the Lord then, but he was already a Christian, I believe, before he ever went into the city of Sodom. So I use my sanctified imagination, and it is, at this moment of the sermon. But could I suggest to you that maybe, just maybe, Lot came to faith in Jesus Christ when he saw the unquestioning faith of his uncle Abraham. As Abram leaves now his homeland, the Ur of the Chaldees, and he sets out for a country at the command of God, maybe that led to Lot exercising faith in his uncle's God. Here's my uncle, a man who's walking with God, a man who's in fellowship with God. And here he is, a man now taking steps of tremendous faith. And as I watch on, I see something different about my uncle. He's not like my other uncles. He's not even like my father or my grandfather. Here's a man who's a different man. He's a changed man. He's a man who's been transformed by this intervention, by this encounter with Almighty God. And let me say that there are times that that happens when a person in a family comes to trust in Jesus Christ. And such is the radical change in that individual's life that as others look on within the family, they have come to understand that I need my brother's God. I need my father's Savior. I need my mother's friend. And so they come to Christ. Maybe the mother gets saved first, to be followed by the father in the home, then to be followed by the lambs, the little children. Oh, would it not be a wonderful thing tonight? Would it not be a wonderful thing tonight if you were the first in your family to come to faith in Jesus Christ? Then the wife would follow, or the husband, or maybe the children. It would be a wonderful thing. Maybe as Lot looked on at his uncle, he thought, there's what I want. That's what I need. I need a radical change in my life. I need a saving relationship with the God of heaven. I need to be translated from darkness to light. I need righteousness placed on my account. I need my sins forgiven. And here's my uncle, and he knows the Lord. Maybe your uncle knows the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Could it be that Lot came to faith in God when he parted ways with his uncle Abram because of the strife that had erupted among both men's herdsmen? Can you not see him now setting out in life by himself? As it were, he's had the safety net of his uncle Lot, or his uncle Abram. He's been with him. I suppose he's been hanging on to his shirt tails, as it were, but now there's going to be a parting of the ways, and here's Lot, and he's now setting out on his own journey in life. He's now having to stand on his own feet, and he's got a family to care for. He's got a wife, and he's going to have children. I don't know what age they are, whether they are already born or not. He's got herdsmen to look after. He's got cattle. He's his own livestock. And maybe as he set out in life and started out the journey, now standing on his own feet, maybe it all became so overwhelming to Lot, and he thought to himself, I need God. Here I am, setting out in life by myself. I need God in my life. So daunting was the task that God maybe saved him at this very pivotal moment when he's separated from his uncle Abram. How am I going to live in this ungodly world without the faith that my uncle has? Maybe it's time that I got right with God. Family strife can often and can sometimes lead to a person's salvation. When there's nowhere else to turn to, a person can turn to the Lord. Or maybe the added responsibilities of life, maybe becoming a new parent, can cause an unsaved person to reassess their priorities in life and the way that they're going to bring up their children. They stand with the child in their arms, maybe in some maternity ward, and they look into the face of the child and they ask themselves the question, how is this child going to be raised? How am I going to raise a family? Am I going to lead them in the paths of righteousness? Or am I going to lead them in the paths of sin? And maybe, just maybe, at that moment, that new parent, that mother, that father, they come to realize that it would be better that my child was brought up in a Christian home than for them to be brought up in an ungodly home and then for them to suffer all the miseries that sin brings into a home. And that can happen. A father, mother, they stand there and they look at their child and they wonder, what path are we going to take in life and in this family? And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're listening in. Maybe you're a new parent and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to raise my child? Am I going to raise them in the things of God? That safe place, that sheltered place, that blessed place for them to be, to preserve them from the world and sin. I'm not saying that they'll not go out into sin themselves, but I tell you, it's a place of safety. Maybe as he stood there and as he thought, now I'm heading out into life myself, I need the Savior. Or do you remember another occasion? Do you remember whenever Lot was taken as a prisoner of war? You'll read about it in Genesis chapter 14, one of those chapters maybe that we don't read or we skip over. You'll know that some kings fought with one another and Lot is obviously thrown into the mix because he's taken up residency in Sodom, and therefore as one of the kings of, or the king of Sodom, he goes out and he fights against another confederate of kings. It was headed up by the king of Elam, a man by the name of Chedorlaomer. As a result of the king of Sodom losing the battle, Lot is taken as a prisoner of war. All of his goods are taken, his family and himself, they're all carried away as prisoners of war. Put yourself in that position. Those prisoners of war would have been paraded at before the very cities of the champions, those who had been victorious in the battle. And then what would have happened to them? They would have been all put to death. And maybe Lot was sitting there thinking about what was just ahead of him. Maybe he thought to himself, well, there's no hope of ever me being rescued from this predicament. Here I am. I've made my bed. Now I'm lying in it. He never thought that his uncle would come and rally a troop of men to go and rescue him. And so he's thinking logically. He's just thinking the outworking of all that's going to happen. And he maybe thought to himself, you know, I'm about to die. I'm about to face the consequences of my rebellion. Maybe with eternity nearing and death nearing, maybe he thought to himself, it's time that I got right with God. And that happens. That happens in the lives of individuals. When the prospect of death draws near, whether that may be through an accident, whether that through a doctor's prognosis, whether that through just the natural aging process, a person is prompted by these things to start to think and to consider their latter end. I tell you, there's nothing like a consultant sitting down with you to inform you that your illness is terminal. For you to start to think about spiritual things. It's nothing like an accident in which your life is miraculously spared. that would cause you to start to think about your soul's salvation. There's nothing like standing in front of a mirror and realizing that you're now getting old. You're getting an old man, you're getting an old woman, and you've only lived for sin and self. Nothing like that to startle you to consider where you will be in eternity after death. Maybe it was this crisis in the life of Lot that brought him to faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know when he came to faith. I'm only suggesting to you these crisis moments. But I say to you that Lot was a privileged man. I say that because he had an uncle. That uncle would become like a surrogate father to Lot. When his own father died, really Abram took him under his wing and started to instruct him. Here's a man who knew God. Here's a man who talked with God. Here's a man who walked with God. Abram was a man who had a deep, authentic faith, a man of prayer, a man who lived out the gospel in his daily life. Now, there are many in this nation who do not have this privilege, but I could say, as I look into this congregation tonight, that everyone does have this privilege in this house tonight. You know godly people. Many of you have been brought up in godly homes. You have saved parents who try to live out the gospel before you day by day. I say do not despise that privilege, but improve upon it and come to know your father and your mother's God. Privilege commencement in life. Look secondly with me with regard to Lot's problematic compromises in life. Lot's problematic compromises in life. There were a number of areas in which Lot compromised, and that would lead to a demise in his spiritual life. As a Christian, can I say that Lot was content, first of all, to make compromise with regard to the priorities of life, or the priority of life. You know, the choices that a person makes, it really does reveal the priorities in their lives. When it came to Lot choosing where to live, after it was decided that it was best for the parting of the ways between him and Abram, Lot, he would lift up his eyes, and with short-sightedness, he chose to take up residency in the well-watered plain of the River Jordan. It appears, at least at that choice, and with regard to the priority that he makes, it seems to be that the success of his livestock was more important to Lot than the safety of his family. That the success of his flocks was more important than the safety of his family. Lot was a man who on that occasion prioritized the things of time over the things of eternity. Worldly advantage. Worldly advantage was the chief factor in determining Lot's place in life. For this man, secular matters trumped spiritual matters. That was his priority. What about the cattle? What about the sheep? And he forgot about the souls that he was in charge of, and that he was personally responsible to God for. He made a compromise with regard to life's priorities. Can I say, Christian, you are on a slippery slope when life's priorities are more earthly orientated than they are heavenly orientated in your life? Of course, we need to give consideration to the things of this life. Of course we have to provide for our family. Of course we have to work. Of course we do. But when such considerations push to the side the spiritual, then the alarm bells should be ringing loudly. Lot, what does it matter about the cattle? And what does it matter about the sheep? What about the souls that you're in charge of? What about the soul of your wife? What about the soul of your girls? What about that Lot? But he's short-sighted. And he's going to make his priority in life being the best farmer with the best-looking cows and the best-looking sheep at the market. He wants to be talked about in Sodom's livestock market. That's all he's concerned about. And I say that's what men and women are concerned about in this province and in this land. I say to you, Christian, make sure your priorities in life are in the right place. All it was over was simply the best pasture land. A little choice that he made. But we read the end of the story, didn't we? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And sinner, you make sure your priorities in life are in the right place, for eternity is too long to get this wrong. The matter of your soul salvation, eternity is too long to get this wrong. Make the salvation of your soul life's top priority, and care not for anything or anyone else. May none get in your way in seeking after the Savior. He made a compromise with regard to priority. He made a compromise with regard to company. Think firstly about the company from which Lot withdrew himself. You see, Lot chose to part ways with his godly uncle and aunt, Abram and Sarah. No longer would he be under their restraining influence. No longer would he be under their watchful spiritual eyes. And that was quite all right for Lot. At this point of his life, he was quite happy. He was quite happy to withdraw himself from the company of godly people, of righteous people, of people who were walking with God and in fellowship with God. I say, whenever a professing son or daughter withdraws from the company of saints, it's time to start praying, mother. It's time to start praying, father, when they start to drift from the company of the saints. It's time to pray. When a professing Christian starts to miss fellowship with the saints, it's time to start interceding, Church of Jesus Christ. When a Christian no longer wants to keep company with other Christians, I tell you, there's a spiritual problem, and that's maybe where you are tonight. Oh, that you would return unto the Lord, for you'll find a welcome. You'll find a welcome among us, you will. Never let the devil say to you, you're too far gone. Never. You'll find a welcome in this fellowship of saints. And so Lot, he withdraws himself from godly company, but he goes further, because I want you to see in the second place, think of the company that Lot now gravitates towards. He withdraws from the righteous, from the godly. There's old Uncle Abraham and Sarah. There's the old fuddy-duddies. There's the godly people. There's the people who pray. Sure, what do I want to do and involve myself in that? Now I'm going to make my way, and I'm gravitating towards the ungodly. Maybe to begin with, Lot kept himself at arm's length from the citizens of Sodom. Their sin and their wickedness were well known to Lot, and really initially he wanted nothing to do with such people in Genesis chapter 13. But when we reach Genesis chapter number 19, we find that Lot has now come to sit in the gate of Sodom. He has become one of its city councillors. For the gate was the place where the government officials sat. Here's a man who has been promoted by his fellow citizens in Sodom to take a position in that very city. You see, Lot had formed fellowship and Lot had formed friendship with the ungodly. And I tell you, that's always concerning. When a professing Christian finds the company of the ungodly more desirable than the company of God's people, what tends to happen with the careless Christian is that Christian will then start to drift further and further away from the Lord until they behave no differently. They behave no differently than the ungodly that they now keep company with and they have now formed friendships with. Beware of making compromise when it comes to the company you keep. And I'm not just speaking to young people, I'm speaking about all of us. Such ungodly company may take you further than you could ever imagine. Read the end of Lot's story. And then he made a compromise with regard to his sanctity or his purity. By living in Sodom, Lot came to witness the sinful deeds of the men of Sodom. But he came to see and hear. He came then to compromise his purity. Rather than avoiding sin, rather than condemning sin, Lot allowed it to be played out before his very eyes every day. He didn't flee from evil. He sat and watched it and was unaffected by it. He compromised his purity. O child of God, be careful. Beware of compromise. We are to be pure in heart. We're to think upon those things that are pure. We're to keep ourselves pure. May we never compromise with regard to our purity. The careless Christian who compromises their sanctity or compromises their purity will then find themselves engaged in all kinds of sinful activities and practices. Let me ask you, what areas have you made compromises in? What are you now engaged in that a few years ago, when you were walking closer to the Lord than you are this evening, would have been unthinkable to you then? Beware, careless Christian. The careless Christian will find that one compromise leads to another compromise that leads to another compromise that leads to calamity. And that brings me to consider a third concluding point, Lot's pitiful conclusion to life. I'm sure Lot showed great promises in his early Christian life. All Christians do. He was most likely eager for God, wanted to talk about God, maybe always witnessing to the ungodly around him, maybe a man of prayer, always at the place of worship. He was most likely a man who began the Christian life walking circumspectly, staying clear of all that grieved God, the Holy Spirit. But now things are different, radically different, as he lives in a city that is now earmarked for destruction. Considering the details in Genesis 19, we come to find that Lot is, first of all, insensitive to God's purposes. This is where he's got to now. He's insensitive to the purposes of God. Now, Abram knows what's going to happen to Sodom because Abraham has continued to walk with God. I'm not saying that Abraham walked perfectly. He went down into Egypt. He made mistakes there with regard to Sarai, his wife. But Abram's come back to the Lord. He's come back to the place of fellowship. He's back to the altar. But here's a man. Here's a man, Lot, who's not walking like Abram. And so God cannot tell Lot what he's about to do to the city of Sodom. And therefore, God must send two angels to actually prize Lot out of the city and to convey him to a place of safety. You see, the person who becomes careless in their Christian life and the one who compromises their faith by living too close to the world will find that God's purposes are hidden from them. And that's a pitiful place to ever find yourself in. When God no longer speaks to your heart. Is there a person here tonight and that's where you are? If you reach that place, return. Return to the Lord. Secondly, we see that Lot was incapable of effective witnessing. When Lot came to speak to his sons-in-law regarding coming judgment, Genesis 19 tells us that he seemed as one that mocked on to his sons-in-law. It appears that Lot has lost all credibility. He's lost all credibility with his extended family circle because of his spiritual compromise. Sure, why would I listen to that boy? He's talking about this ungodly city coming to be destroyed. He brought us here. Daddy brought us here. Daddy brought me here. Do you want your children to say that? Well, then be careless as a Christian. Be careless as a Christian. How tragic it would be if our own carelessness now as a Christian would lead others to disbelieve our attempts to witness to them at a later time in life. The only way to avoid that is by not becoming careless, not becoming slack as a Christian, but staying close to the Lord. But here's Lot. Here's Lot And he's now ineffective with regard to his witnessing. Thirdly, we see that Lot is insolvent with respect to his earthly goods. That's why I read Genesis 13. It's really that truth that really got a hold of me over the last week when I was preparing the word. When you think about Lot at the very beginning, when you think about all that he had, well, let me read to you what he had. It's there in Genesis 13. Don't turn there. Let me read verses 5 and 6. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they may dwell together, for there, speaking of Abram and Lot, their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. But I want you now to look at Lot as he leaves the city of Sodom. And I want you to ask yourself the question, where are the flocks? Where are the cows? Where are the tents? Where are the herdsmen? They're not there. They're not there. Lot has been stripped of all his earthly goods. He leaves the city, as it were, with only the clothes on his back. The promise of wealth that that plain of Jordan promised him, as he looked at that plain and Lot thought to himself, I'm going to be a very wealthy man. That promise of wealth never materialized. Why? Because he compromised as a Christian. That's why. And now he's left with nothing. He's not even left with his wife. His wealth is gone, and his wife now stands frozen in time as a pillar of salt. Now let's ask Lot the question. Lot, was it worth it? Was it worth becoming a careless Christian? He would say 1,000 times no. A 1,000 times no! I'm bereft of my wife. My wealth is gone. And my testimony is shattered because I became careless. I made one wrong choice. And look at me now. You see, finally, very, very quickly, we see that Lot is incestuously compromised with his daughters. You can read that yourself. We read it. I'm not going to go into details. There are children here. But the children that were born because of that sad event, Moab and Ammon, would become the archenemies of God's people for generations, the Moabites and the Ammonites, because of that decision that was made. You see, sin always has a fallout that is devastating and is always a fallout that is enduring. Better never to sow the seeds of sin than to reap its harvest, because the harvest is great. The harvest is great. How many a careless Christian has lived to regret their slackness in spiritual things. Where they have recovered from their sin, they might leave, others might be left to live and die in their sin because of their influence. Beloved, compromise in our Christian life, it always leads to carelessness and always leads to calamity. Maybe not to the extent as it did in Lot's life. Maybe not to that extent, but it will to some extent. Maybe there has been some compromise in your life. Maybe you're here tonight, you're a backslider. You've become very careless with regard to your Christian life. I don't know what area that has been in. I'm not going to pinpoint it tonight. The Spirit of God is pinpointing it just now. And God has sent this message to you as a warning. Warning. Warning, Christian. Careless Christian. You become slack. This may be the road that you travel. This may be the fallout of your carelessness. May God, in his mercy, deal with my heart, your heart, And if tonight you find yourself having reached that place of carelessness, get back to the cross. Get back to the place where you first met the Savior. Allow first love to, that flame of first love to be kindled again within. The flame's low, but it hasn't gone out. Hasn't gone out. Can never go out if you're a child of God. But it's at low burn. Let Calvary, let that very sacrifice of the cross, may it cause that flame to be reignited and revived again within. Let grace lead you to the cross. May God preserve us from having a sad testimony and end like Lot. May God speak to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Time is well away. Appreciate everybody here. Has God spoken to you? Has God dealt with you tonight? Do you need help? Do you need counsel? Do you need a friend? Let me encourage you to seek the Lord, the friend of sinners. May God cause this message to pull the brakes on, cause you to do an about turn. Child of God, you've become very slack. Too many compromises in your Christian life. You've got children. They need a godly mother and father. Time to turn back. Turn back to the Lord. Do that in the privacy of your own home. You don't need me. Not here to try and create some emotional thing in this meeting. Get right with the Lord. Then go on with the Lord. Be like Abraham. Don't be like Lot. Stay close to the Savior. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we pray that thou wilt help us to be very aware, Lord, that it's only one decision. We are only one decision away from causing things to be set into motion that will bring shipwreck and heartache into our lives and into our families' lives. Lord, help me, I pray. Help me, Lord, to always make the right decision. Help me to walk with thee and my brethren and sisters. And if there be one among us who has been careless and Lot, that this is them. Well then, Lord, deal with their hearts and deal with their souls and bring them back to the Savior. We thank thee, O God, that there'll be no regrets there. The regret is whenever we stay away, whenever we keep a distance, that's the regret. Oh, may there be no regrets as there is a returning to thee. Answer prayer and part us with thy fear. We offer prayer in and through the